rumors are popular.
Welcome to the Moment of Truth broadcast with Pastor Josh Hickey. This broadcast is a ministry of the Truth Independent Baptist Church located in Adamsville, Alabama. We want to thank you for tuning in to this broadcast and hope you receive a blessing from the precious Word of God. Now stay tuned for a message from the pulpit of the Truth Independent Baptist Church.
Down through the ages, through history's pages, Satan's tried to silence her voice. Though her song may seem fading, glorious saints are now parading, bursting through with anthems of joy.
It is built on a solid foundation. She's been bought by the Savior's dear hand, and the gates of hell shall never prevail.
Two thousand years ago by the shores of Galilee, Jesus said to his disciples, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against my church." Since that time, the devil has tried everything in his power to stop us. He used Saul of Tarsus to slaughter Christians, but that didn't last, for Saul could not erase from his mind the triumphant death of Stephen. Yeah. That martyr first whose eagle eye could pierce beyond the grave, who saw his master in the sky and called on him to save. And Saul, on the Damascus road, was converted to the Christ whom he persecuted. And the church still stands. Saul and the rest of Jesus' disciples were decapitated, hounded, crucified. But the more Christians were afflicted, the more they multiplied, and the church still stands. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Even as the young Christian in the Dark Ages who was told that for her faith she would be burnt alive in the morning. When the executioners came to her chamber at sunrise, they saw her clad in a beautiful long wedding dress, white as snow. They asked her why she was not wearing black on this day of her death. And she said, "Nay, but this is the day of celebration. For today I will cross the threshold of eternal life and be united to Christ, my beloved." As they marched her down the road, she began to testify the gospel to the crowd who watched. But the angry tormentors, to silence her message, plucked her tongue out from the roots. But as the blood flowed from her mouth down the white dress, unable to verbally testify the gospel of Christ, she just pointed upward to the heavens that would receive her spirit from the rising flame. And the church still stands. And the church still stands. Today, all around this world, Christians pay a horrible price for their faith by the hand of the devil's children. Even in America, they voted to outlaw the Bible, the Ten Commandments, and prayer from our public school. Look what's happened. Anarchy has taken religion's place. But a few bold saints as lambs among wolves remain faithful to their God. Cassie Bernal, when looking down the barrel of a gun in her high school, was asked this question: "Do you believe in God?" She answered, "Yes," and a bullet took her life. Yes, true Christians are still faithful because true Christians still faithful because the church still stands.
As I look around me, I see martyrs today for Christ. They would not deny for the faith that has bought them is the faith that has brought them through their trial to their heavenly prize.
It is built on a solid foundation. She's been bought by the Savior's pierced hand, and the gates of hell shall never prevail. The church shall forever stand. Oh, armies and tyrants have come against her. Their kingdoms now reclaimed by the Lamb. No weapons against her shall prosper.
She's ordained by the great I Am.
This morning from the 14th chapter, and we're going to begin in just a moment at verse number 33. Now, we've been preaching on Sunday mornings, began last week, of course, preaching on a series of messages, five messages total, on the church, not necessarily the doctrine of the church, but practical thoughts on the church. And so we're going to continue that this morning. I preached last week, if you recall, on the outgoing church. The outgoing church. And we talked about how the outgoing church will see the importance of the field. The outgoing church will see the importance of fellowship. The outgoing church sees the importance of friendship. And it sees the importance of functionality. Now, this morning I'm going to deal with the organized church. And we find this here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. Now, remember, of course, that Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. Paul started this church at Corinth. He spent at one time there 18 months minimum. 18 months. Lived there among the people. Worked as a tent maker in the city of Corinth, and he started this church. And Paul, in a sense, was the pastor of this church. And so I want you to keep that in mind as we read this passage of Scripture this morning. Now, we'll pick up our reading at verse number 33 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. What, came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. This passage of Scripture, and as we said a moment ago, Paul is writing a letter of strong rebuke to what was one of the most carnal and worldly churches that ever existed in the New Testament. Now, the Bible plainly teaches that the things of God are to be done decently and in order. And obviously, the church at Corinth was having a problem with this very thing. You don't have to be a great scholar of the Bible to know that God is a God of order. It says here that God, in verse 33, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. And I want to use verse number 40 as a springboard into the message, where it says, let all things be done decently and in order. So what this verse of scripture is saying is that God is not into freelancing. God doesn't want his church to be just roaming around doing nothing, and nobody has any responsibility and nothing in terms of organization. Yeah. Without question, God wants his church to be an organized church. The pastor is to lead the church in these things. Now, I'm not saying that the church needs a CEO. It needs a pastor. Amen. The church is not a corporation. The church is not an organization only. It is an organism. It is a living body of saved, baptized believers. It is built upon nothing else but the authority of the Scriptures, the Word of God. You see, the church must stand upon this foundation. Amen. And if it stands upon anything else, it will fall. Amen. Someone might say, well, what about your church constitution? And I would say, we have one. But they might say, can I get a copy? And I would say to them, you very well may have a copy if you want one. I would say, you don't need it. And they would say, why? What do you mean we don't need it? You don't need it because the Word of God is the book that we follow. Amen. I pastored a little small country church in the early years of my ministry. And it didn't take long for me to come to the conclusion that that church elevated the Constitution onto the same level as the Bible. This is the same church when I raised a question about something that was going on that was unscriptural. There was a smiling deacon who sat across the desk from me, and he grinned so wide he looked like a mule eating briars. And he reached across the desk and laid his hand on mine, and he said, now, preacher, I know what the Bible says about this thing, but we've always done it this way. And I've never forgotten that. And I want to tell you something. Nothing means to me what the Word of God means to me. Some churches have been built on business meeting minutes. They've been built on constitution and bylaws and popular opinions. They've been built upon what deacon boards propose, or what every backslidden, mossy-backed member wanted. But those churches are like houses who've been built on the shifting sands, and they will collapse. They will not stand. A church must be built upon the solid rock of God's holy word. Now, we must follow and we organize based on what is taught and what is promoted in the Holy Bible. God's living, inspired, inerrant word. Now, I want to point out this morning three areas in which the church is to be an organized church. I'm not sure if these are in the right order particularly, but each one of these things is of utmost importance. I'm talking about the organized church. First of all, I want to say that the programs of the church are to be organized. The church must be diverse in its programs. Now, this morning I'm going to do somewhat of a little teachy-preachy thing. And so you bear with me, but I promise you there'll be enough preaching in here to get in your crawl. So just bear with me a little bit while I teach, and I'm going to preach as well. But the church must have a diversity in programs. It must have a diverse catalog of ministries. And when that happens, you'll most likely have a diverse group of people. People who will come from all walks of life. He says here in verse number 39, now look at your Bible and keep it open with me this morning. He says, and forbid not to speak with tongues. He said that because evidently there was a diverse group of people, a multicultural church that all spoke different tongues, different languages. And Paul said, forbid not to speak with tongues. This was not talking about the gibberish that certain groups of people are practicing today. You know, spouting off a bunch of lingo that nobody can understand and nobody can interpret and know what they're talking about. And they waddle all over the floor and thrash around and flop like a sprayed roach. Nothing about that is decent or in order. You don't find such a thing in the Bible. You don't find them practicing those things in the Bible. The church has gotten away from what they were taught in the Scriptures. This church at Corinth knew what was right. They had one of the best pastors in the world. But they trusted in their own ways and in their own feelings. I wish I could move around. That's why I won't use that little mic. Because I'm scared if I get out there, you won't be able to hear me. But nevertheless, the message is the same. So I want you to listen to me. This church had gotten away from what was right. And Paul told this church to not forbid to speak with tongues. Multicultural. He said, covet to prophesy. Now, the charismatic movement has taken that terminology and they've twisted it all up and made it to mean something that the Bible does not teach. The same way that tongues has been perverted. Now, I prophesy when I preach. Your Sunday school teacher is prophesying when they tell you of a future event that's coming that we're told about in the Word of God. I'm prophesying when I warn about an awful judgment to come. When I warn people there is a hell. When I tell them to get ready for the rapture. When I preach and tell sinners that there's a 7-year period that's coming that the Bible speaks of called the time of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation period, and there's a man coming called the Antichrist. When I warn people that there is something called a judgment seat of Christ and a great white throne of judgment that every person who has ever had a heartbeat is going to stand before and give account of those things done in the flesh. That, my friend, is biblical prophecy. But where people have gotten all out of sorts is that they say they have a new revelation. And they say, I've got divine inspiration from God. And it's nowhere in the Bible. Amen. They say that things are coming to pass or things are happening now. And you can't find anything about it in the Word of God. You better mark that one. They're a sheep, a wolf in sheep's clothing. They are a false prophet, my friend, because the Bible speaks nothing about progressive revelation. There is no new revelation. Every prophecy God wants you to know, He's given it to you in black and white, and it's from cover to cover in that blessed holy book. Amen. They'll say something like this. Well, I feel in my spirit. Well, who cares? Listen, don't tell me what you feel in your spirit. Tell me what's in the Bible. Is that enough preaching for you? There's no such thing as progressive revelation. Thank God we have the completed canon of Scripture. We have the complete revelation of God's Word. And the church is to be built upon it. And it's to be organized by it. The organized church, I believe, my friend, must be diverse in its programs. You know, it needs to have a soul-winning program. And this is of absolute importance and of absolute necessity. And I promise you, when we start an organized soul-winning program, you will begin to see things happen here. You'll start to see things happen. But my friend, the church, without question, must have a soul-winning program. Now, if you are to have a successful, fruitful, rewarding soul-winning program in the church, the people must make soul-winning a way of life every day of the week. It must become natural and normal for you to speak to people about Christ. And that's what I'm interested in for you. That's why I harp on personal work, personal work. Do the personal work through the week. Preacher can't be there to hold your hand. You must take it upon yourself and it become a natural thing to speak to people about Jesus. Or else you'll never have a successful organized program. That's why churches are withering up and dying, because they have no outreach. They have no desire to get out and to win the people to Christ. The Sunday school program must be organized. I was speaking with a man not long ago, and I made the statement that through all of this coronavirus, all of this that's going on in the world, possibly the one area that has suffered more in the church, I believe, than any other program, is that of the Sunday school. What was the first thing that went? The Sunday school program. They canceled Sunday school before they started calling off church. Many churches have completely dropped the Sunday school program permanently. I think a church without a Sunday school program is like a house without a kitchen. Some smart aleck says, the Bible doesn't tell me to have a Sunday school program. I had a preacher tell me that. For some reason or other, he was not for a Sunday school program. And his reasoning was because the Bible didn't tell him to have a Sunday school program. Yeah, and the Bible didn't tell you to breathe either. But you manage to do that every day. But the Bible does say to teach. It may not say specifically Sunday school, but it says to teach. The Bible tells us to teach in many places. Paul said, for instance, about Apollos in the book of Acts, he taught diligently the things of the Lord. It is a specific, systematic time that has been set aside to gather around the Word of God together and to be taught. And the Sunday school program is of utmost importance. Now, I know this isn't a big dynamic sermon, but what I'm telling you this morning is the truth. And you do yourself an injustice by missing the Sunday school hour. The teachers ought to be organized. The schedule ought to be organized. I believe the teachers, now if you're a Sunday school teacher here, I'm preaching to you for a minute. The teachers of those classes need to have all their ducks in a row. They need to have the rooms ready when the students come. They need to have the rooms decorated. And they need to have them clean. And they need the spaces to be pleasant. It needs to be an environment that is conducive to learning. They need to have their curriculum all in order. And teachers, you need to be well studied. The lifeblood of any church is in the Sunday school. Now, some of you are looking at me like you don't believe it. But I promise you, if you'll take my word for it, just trust your preacher. What I'm telling you is important, friend. Some of you got your head crooked, turned sideways looking at me. And, amen. What I'm telling you is the truth. Sunday school. Now, people don't act like it. Because they just lay out of it and won't come. But you need to attend the Sunday school hour. And if you haven't been, you ought to start. The church must have an organized Sunday school program, an organized soul winning program. The church must be disciplined, not only diverse, but it needs to be disciplined, my friend, in its programs. You know, the worship services need to be organized, and they need to be planned, and they need to have structure. I don't like this. You go to some of these little old churches and you know, they'll just come in there and they'll open the hymn book and they'll say, "Well, does anybody got one?" How many of you have heard that? "Well, Sister Margaret, you got one to sing?" No, please don't, Margaret. Just stay in your pew. Amen. And most times, poor Margaret can't carry a tune in the bucket. God bless her heart. And you ain't got to be the best singer, but dear God, amen. Know your role in the church, amen. Some people are not singers, and some people are not preachers, and some people don't know how to count money, and some people can't do everything. Know your role in the church. But my friend, I've seen them, the worship services all out of sorts, and nobody knows what's going on. There's no structure at all, and I'm not for that. I think it's unhealthy. I had some ladies here in the church this week, and they said, well, it was given to me through the grapevine. They said, now, preacher, they said, we got a bunch of planners here in the church. They like to plan things. And I think that's a good thing. I say amen to that. I like planners. I like people that plan ahead and they're prepared. But now, I have a word of warning for you. When you have that kind of mentality, you have to be careful that you don't plan God right out of things. I've seen some churches who are so formal and they're so structured that the Holy Spirit has no liberty to do His work. Well, I've seen churches that have in the bulletin the exact times that they will sing that particular hymn. God help. I mean, I'm for being punctual and being on time. And I'm a stickler for it. But, I mean, does the Holy Spirit have to set His watch by you? Have the time that you're going to sing the hymn? 10:23, we're going to sing just as I am. God help. And it's got the preacher. It's got his outline in there. It's got everything about it. It's even got the altar call and the benediction. Lord God, help us. I mean, you're just trying to program God right out of the service? Listen, be careful about that. I mean, they have quenched the Holy Spirit to the point He has no freedom to do His work. And this totally defeats the purpose for the worship service. So there must be organization. There must be discipline in the structure of things. Now, I didn't say dysfunctional. I said discipline. It must be discipline in its giving, the church. I'm talking about its giving program. And not only disciplined in its giving, it must be disciplined in its spending. I don't think that a church, listen, ought to sit around and hoard money. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in draining yourself dry either. But I don't think a church will sit there and accumulate money for years and years and it's never spent on proper things. I mean, I have seen them sit there and gather up a nest egg for years and their building be falling in on them. But they were tighter than Dick's hat band and didn't want to come off a couple of $100 to fix the sheetrock or to fix the tile that's falling down out of the ceiling. God help us. And sitting there with $60,000. Now, isn't this just a sweet message? But it's the truth, isn't it? And you've seen it too. And I think that's a disgrace to God. Now, in its giving and its spending, it ought to be disciplined. And I think the church needs to make sure it makes wise investments. The tithes and the offerings, they ought to be spent wisely to improve the facility, to advance the cause of the ministry, to take care of its pastor and its staff, to support the mission programs. The church must be disciplined, my friend, in its stewardship, if you will. In the giving. And it must be disciplined in its attendance. The people should be punctual. That means you should be on time. See, I'm talking about organization. And when you've got people who drag in late, that's not organization. When you've got people where everybody's having to wait on you, that's not organization. You need to be time conscious. And we really struggle with this in our church. I wish there's more people here this morning that need to hear this. But we struggle with this. And I'm not rebuking you. But you need to be more time conscious about things. We have a bell out here. We ring that bell. That lets people know what we're doing. And you get a 5-minute warning bell before it's time to gather in here for Sunday school. You get a 5-minute warning bell before it's time to resolve the Sunday school class. You need to be disciplined, my friend, to know what time it is and to be punctual. You ought to be involved in every activity. Involved. The Bible speaks about how people are to learn how they ought to behave themselves in the house of God. And I ain't just talking about children. I know some adults who've never learned how to behave in the house of God. Amen. Now let's be honest. It wouldn't look very good if your preacher, what if I just drug in 10 or 15 minutes late every Sunday? What if I just decided, well, I think I'm going to skip Sunday school this morning. You know, Brother Danny, he's been off a few weeks. You know, he just ain't been on. He ain't been hitting them home runs like he normally does. I think I'm just going to lay out today. And you know, maybe in a week or two, he'll get a little better. You know, and just drag in late. What if I come in, you know, about 20 minutes after class done started and plop down in the chair? And amen. I mean, listen, friend, that wouldn't look very good if your pastor did such a thing. But now let me clue you in on something. It doesn't look very good when anybody does that. It looks bad. I mean, what if Sunday school teachers just came in the door about 5 minutes late? And they come in wiping sleep out of their eyes. Amen. I mean, they come in yawning, you know. Big old yawn and just come in. And I'm still trying to get your lesson together and figure out what you're teaching. Hey, that's not a good thing. And God's not going to bless that. Be punctual. Be punctual. A punctual, strategic, well-planned, disciplined programs in the church are vital to the success of a church. An organized church will have a church that has organized programs. Well, I know we're having camp meeting this morning, and we're shouting it out and swinging from the rafters. Amen. So just let me move on to this second before y'all hurt yourself. Amen. I don't want you to OD on God. Amen. So let me give you number two. Not only do they need to have organized programs, but the people of the church are to be organized. I think people seem to forget that the church is not a building. The church is a people. It's good to see a church full of people, but I like to see a people full of church. Amen. What makes a good church? Somebody said, well, it's that good preacher y'all got. No. Well, you probably got the sorriest preacher. Y'all supposed to say amen right there. No, you ain't going to say amen. But they say, you got that good preacher down there. No, that's not what makes a good church. Well, you got good singing. How about you, the singers in the church? No, that doesn't make a good church. Well, you got all kinds of things for the kids. No, that don't make a good church. You know what makes a good church? Good people. Good people make a good church. And people, my friend, ought to join the church. I'm not going to spend much time on this, but I do want to say that people got saved in the Bible, the first part of the book of Acts. And do you know what happened? The Bible says there were additions to the church. Now, I could say a lot about this, but they joined the church. I've always felt that there's something wrong with a Christian if he's really saved, if he won't join a Bible-believing church. He's not scriptural. He's not right with God.
Called Loaded Bar, lived a young man who was crippled from a fall. His name was Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul. He was trying to survive. Since Jonathan and Saul were slain, it seemed all hope was in vain, and each lonely night was spent in fear of what another day would bring. But one day King David said, there is one thing I'd like to do. Is there one of the house of Saul, someone I could show my kindness? Find him and bring him this message from the king.
Mephibosheth, forever put your fears to rest. Come and be my table guest. To you I'll be a father, and my son you'll always be. Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth cried, oh, how can this be, that a king could ever love someone like me?
Living in Loaded Bar, where there's no comfort for a troubled soul, just a place full of broken hearts, never knowing what the future holds. But now that I've met the King, there's nothing like His love for me. Now I'm part of the family, since someone came and knocked upon my door with this message.
Mephibosheth, forever put your fears to rest. Come and be my table guest. To you I'll be a father, and my son you'll always be. Mephibosheth, please accept the invitation. I've made all the preparations. could ever love someone? How could he ever love someone? It's good to know he loves someone like me. Like me.
Been listening to the Moment of Truth broadcast from the Truth Independent Baptist Church with Pastor Josh Hickey. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please take this time to write us at P.O. Box 190, Adamsville, Alabama 35005, or give Pastor Hickey a call at 205-434-0600. Thank you for listening, and tune in next time for another message from the pulpit of the Truth Independent Baptist Church.
Are partakers of the